Today's daf from Masechet Erevin, brought to you mibin Chomot Yerushalayim, is daf Gimel, and we're holding on the last line of daf Beit Amud Beit. So yesterday, you will recall that we learned, according to Rav, that the svara of the Chachamim that say that you cannot have Bekeira l'malam yasrim amah is because they hold that we use the Pitcho shel Heichal as a model. Pitcho shel Heichal was Esrim Amot, and that's the only place that we find the Eloshon of Petach, or at least just Petach, as opposed to the Petach Ashar, the only place. Now, Lamaisa, the Gemara yesterday, was able to show that it's inconsistent to learn that way. And Rav Chista indeed said that, you know, there was a reason that Rav made a mistake and thought that the Sforo was Pitchoi. The Machlokas was based on whether it's Pitcho shel Heichal or whether it's Pitcho shel Ulam. And that was because the Rabbonin said the Feresh, that we learned about Pitcho shel Heichal in a brighter, at least that's what it sounded like. Because they said if it's Lomalam Yasrim Ama, such as the Pitcho shel Heichal, which sounds like that's their model, so we assume that Rabbi Yehuda also, but we showed according to Rabbi Yehuda for sure it can't work. But we do have a brighter that seems to indicate that Rav was right. Okay. So we know the Braitha, certainly Rav, says Beferish, uses the Pitcho shel Heichal as the model for the Rabbanan. The problem is, asks the Gemara today in the last two words, if you're going to use the Petach of Heichal as a model, so then Elameata lo tahanele amaltara. Now, before we get to this, we're making a lot of assumptions. The kasha is basically the same type of kasha that we had yesterday, which is the Shaila Lagabe, the doors that we asked. In other words, why can't we use it as a complete model? Now, if we use it as a complete model, then what that would mean is we had this problem with Tzurat HaPetach, and Tzurat HaPetach shouldn't help. Then the Gemara actually said, you're right, according to Rav, since the Heichal had its Tzurat HaPetach, and nonetheless it was limited to Esrim, it's clear that we have to change the gears in the Mishnah, and even its Tzurat HaPetach won't help. But we have exactly the same issue when it comes to an Amaltara. Now, an Amaltara, we'll see precisely what the case was in the Heichal, but an Amaltara is a design that is placed above a door that has a massive visual impact and draws the eye. The Heichal had such Amaltara, as we're going to see in the Gemara that follows, and nonetheless, we're going to see that an Amaltara does help. Now, in the same way as we said yesterday, well, if the Heichal had a Tzurat HaPetach, then the Tzurat HaPetach can't help the Malam Yisrael. Then if the Heichal had a Amaltara, then an Amaltara can't also help to make it kosher the Malam Yisrael. And yet, we shall see that Amaltara does help to make it kosher. And that creates what appears to be a raya that it could not be so that the model is the Heichal. In order to get to that kasha, obviously, first we have to prove that there was an Amaltara there. And then we have to prove that an Amaltara does help l'malam yisrael. And then we have to explain what an Amaltara is. But we'll do all of that. I'm just giving you the kitzer, what the question is.
In the Beis
HaMikdash. So, ask the Gemara, if that's the case, lo tahanile Amaltara, because the Heichal had an Amaltara, as we're going to see, Harkal Amaltara havile, and nonetheless, afilo hochi, the din was, it was limiting us as a model to Esrim Amah, who the Gavoa, and that was the maximum height. That, by the way, this Lashon, nonetheless, it was only 20 amot high, is very much with the way the Marsha understands the whole sugya, which I mentioned briefly yesterday, mainly that if it were kosher, l'malam miyasrim, they would have made it l'malam miyasrim. Not just like Rashi says, we don't have a model, but specifically we have a model that is limited to that size. That's what it says, and nonetheless, it was only 20 high. Not nonetheless, we use it as the model for 20.
We know the
clauses
they could.
You couldn't. That's not. Something to Shamilat. So there were five Amaltarot. Now, the Maisa, this Mishnah Midot is referring to the Petach of the Ulam, not of the Heichal. And everybody is familiar with the pretty. Ooh, where's our pretty book? Right behind you. Everybody is familiar with our pretty book that describes. Or the temple institute here that has pictures of the Holy Land Hotel that shows us, I assume that they must have pretty pictures here too. No, how do you like that? They don't have the picture. They didn't have such an art, but I guess that would require real art. You know, you can't expect that, I guess. Huh? That's very strange. Okay, here we go. At last we get something serious out of this. So here we have the wrong picture, of course, but
it isn't.
It's what it isn't. So here we have the Amal Taraot, but they're on the door of the Heichal, and the Mishnah is not referring to the door of the Heichal. It's referring to the Petach of the Ulam on top. Okay, but we'll extrapolate at any event. Because in the end, the Gemara does come out that the special Heichal also had Amal Taraot. So that picture's wrong no matter what. I can't get over it. It's the old story. Back to the future. Fine. In any event, so if there were five Amal Taraot, and I'm going to show you... Wait, you're not going to show me anything. I'm interrupting you. Excuse me. I interrupt this question to show it's ridiculous. What are you asking from? This Mishnah? I might to Yufta. I mean, Dilma Kitanya, Yidam Al Taraot is referring to the Ulam. Now, as the Rishonim point out, Dilma... Doesn't make any. What do you mean, Dilma? The Mishnah says the first. Pitchos shal ulam chamesham al tara'ot. What do you mean, maybe? Definitely. So the Ritva explains the meaning of Dilma is maybe the Mishnah is trying to limit it to the Amal Taraot of the ulam, specifically not of the Heichal. Look, why do you assume that this is a general pattern of the entryway into the Beit HaMikdash? Oh, come on. I might kusha. Why would I say that? Now here too, the word Dilma makes no sense. Because Dilma doesn't really mean maybe. And again, here the Rashba brings Rias that there are many places in Shas where the words Dilma actually means, and would you doubt our general assumption?
Perhaps.
Is that what you want to say? You want to insert doubt into something that we don't have? I mean, in fact, Tavnit Echak, Tavnit Ulam is taken for granted. And that the Mishnah doesn't have to go into the details of every last petach. It's telling you this is the petach shel ulam, and the petach shel echal is the same thing. Okay, so that's a given. Now, I don't want to hear any more about this. Now, let me get back to my kasha, please. Thanks. Okay, so Alama, my kasha is like this. So if we accept the fact, against your petty objections here, if we accept the fact that there were Amal Taraot on the Heichal, then Alama, Amar, Rabbi Loi, Amar, Rav, take a look at this. It's Rav himself, okay? Rechava arba'a, afa b'she'in abriya, a korah which is not strong enough to support a brick, we'll see later on, it's an ariach, we'll see that shear later, is kosher if it's for what? Okay, one halacha. Second halacha. Ve'im yesh la amal tarah, oh my gosh, afilo gavoa yoter mi'esrim ama, eno tzarek lama'ik. Uh-oh, so now we're in big trouble. Rav himself is saying, and amal tarah helps, and Rav himself is the one who's saying that the pitcha shel echal is the model. Those two things can't go side by side. Omer of Yosef, says of Yosef, the amal tarah, it's not that Rav said it, that you're going to make a contradiction from Rav to Rav. This was a braita, he's just quoting something. Wait a minute, is this a reliable braita? Man katonila. Who's the one who authored this braita? Who passed on this braita? Omra, Abaye, look, v'chama b'reitha rabba baravua katonila. This is a darn good reliable braita, okay? So that's some says that we found this lying in a pile of the Yigniz in Cairo. Okay, so then if that's the case, then you're telling me it's a good braita, so tahavi amal t'ramat, dita v'tik shel Rav. So then why don't we, so fine, it's not a contradiction of Rav to Rav. It's a kasha from a braita on Rav. That's not good enough. I know you could say that Rav is a Tanu Pollock, but remember that is always, first of all, only an answer of last resort. We never say stam. Don't even bother asking. Rav can say whatever the heck he wants. He doesn't say whatever the heck he wants. But Koshikane over here, I mean, who asked Rav to stick his nose into what is the reason for a shita? Mamela, you want to say what a shita is? Okay. But to say, well, the reason is because of Pitcho Shel Echal, and thereby get into the problem of Amal Tara. I mean, that really doesn't make any sense. Why isn't this a kasha and Rav? Omlacha, Rav, you know what Rav would say to you, my dear? He would say, leave me out of this. Dal anamayaka. Take me out of the equation here, okay? Do you have a problem? You have a problem. I don't have a problem. You have a problem. Your problem is that the Braita said Beferish Esrim Amaki Pitcho Shel Echal. Now, don't look at me as having made that up, okay? So one braita says, which seems to say we're using that as the model, and the other one says, nonetheless, an Amal Tara would help, despite the fact that they had an Amal Tara. So how are you going to answer it? Don't worry about me. So, don't you have a problem? How are you going to answer that problem? You're going to have to answer it by saying it to Machloket Tanaim. One man, the Amar, learns that the Svar of Esrim Amas, Kipitcha Shel Echal, according to him, an Amal Tara will not help. And the other braita is going according to a Tana, who says Am Altar does help, obviously does not use Pitcha Shalaychal. So no, it's a forget about it. So the Didi Nami Tanoi. Ramakba Yitzchak says, don't let him off so easily. Below Rav, if Rav hadn't insisted that the Svara of the Rabbanan was based on Pitcha Shalaychal as a model, I wouldn't have had any problem with those braitot, okay? Matnai Tadadi Lokashia. There would be no problem on the Rabbanan. Because you know what? The Korah, according to the Rabbanan, time am I, what is the logic? It's not because of Pitcho Shel Heichal. It's only because of the conceptual objection. The point of a Korah, what? Is Hekera, that it should be noticeable. Something that is Lamalami Esri Mama is just not picked up. That's the reason why the Hanukkah menorah is not placed higher. That's the reason that the Sukkah, according to some, has to be as the same thing over here. So you'll say, but the Braita didn't say that. The Braita said, Kipitcho Shalaychal. That is just a siman of Alma. It's to provide you a benchmark. It is not to provide you a model. Now, by the way, we're going to see later on, that's a very valuable benchmark because we need to know whether it is within the 20 or on top of the 20. If we're using the benchmark, it's Kipitcho Shalaychal. So that it means that the open area up to the Korah is 20. And that's going to provide us with some very important halakhic insight. So it's not just we're not just shooting off our mouths. Oh, so now this is very interesting. So in other words, according to Nachum Bar Yitzchak, the Rabbanan don't learn out for Pitcho Shel Heichal. Basically, they're learning that it's a din in Heker, which means that it's the same as a Sukkah. Right? Now, what is the reason for Sukkah? I mean, if the reason for Sukkah is indeed like the Mandiano who says, because it isn't noticeable that you're sitting in a sukkah, and Laman Yedu Dorotechem, only up to 20 amot is a person aware, but if more than 20 amot is not aware, then we've got a problem, because according to Nachum Bar Yitzchak, we end up with two Mishnayot that are built on exactly the same machloket assumptions, and therefore, what is the point of having two Mishnayot? This is all part of that original opening question. What explains the Mishnah here in Erevin and the Mishnah in Sukkah when you juxtapose them side by side? So first we wanted to know why the difference. Now we will now want to know why the repetition. So according to Nachum Bar Yitzchak, look, if he does not believe the Svara of Rabbah, and we'll see that the Svara of Rabbah is that the essence of the Sukkah issue is how much a person notices with his eye. So if he doesn't hold that, okay, so then I understand that we're talking about two Mishnayot that are only superficially the same, and we need to mention both. But if Nachum Bar Yitzchak says that the meaning of Mavui is a din in Hekera, holds the same thing by Sukkah, which is what Rava says, what is the reason that we say a Sukkah cannot be higher than 20 Amot? Because it says in the Torah, Laman Yidu Dorotechem, Kibisukot or Shaftet Bnei Israel, and therefore only Ad Esri Mama, Adam Yodea Shadar B'Sukkah, Lamalam Yesri Mama, in Adam Yodea. So it's all a question of how aware are you of what is above 20 Amot, above your head. And it's Mishum Dalo Shalta Bahina because your eye just doesn't pick it up unless you concentrate. So then, I don't understand. Then why we have two machlokas? Amagabi Sukkanami Be'akera Pligit. That means we are arguing about exactly the same issue between the Chachamim and Rebbe Yehuda. Sifluta Betarti Lomali. I understand why we need two Mishnayot to give two examples of exactly the same concept. Are you or are you not sufficiently aware of something that is Amalami Esri Mama? Well, that I can explain. It's Tzricha. Let's say that I only would have had the Mishnah of Sukkah, okay? I would have said, look, maybe Rabbi Yehuda only argues about a Sukkah. Because Rabbi Yehuda says, now hold on a second. You're not walking through the Sukkah. You're sitting in the Sukkah. You're lying on your bed in the Sukkah. You're telling me you don't look up and you don't see the Schach? And you're lying back. You ever seen Richie sitting in a chair? I mean, you're looking up at the sky basically as you fall asleep. In which case, of course you're going to see the Schach. So since it's a yeshiva, avina, sholta ba'ina. But you're telling me a mavi. I mean, what is a mavi? A mavi is a place where you walk through. You're coming into the Sarabi. Coming into the mavi, or vice versa. You're looking up at the sky. You find your face in the mud. You're certainly not looking up at the sky. So if you look avid, so maybe Rabbi Yehuda would also be made it to the Rabbanan. And vice versa. Let's say that we would have this case of mavi. And the Rabbanan say, well, it can't be higher than, I understand why it can't be higher. Bahach! Yes, because you're walking. But in the case of the Sukkah where you're sitting, maybe the Rabbanan would also be Moed Leil Rabbi Yehuda. Therefore, I need both of these Mishnayot. That's not much of a problem to me. Anyway, getting back, as it more often does, it always, and by the way, this is because you see that the approach of learning in Chazal, suspend your need to know all the details, okay? Just forget it, but don't sit here telling me, well, I can't go further. I need to know what an Amaltra is. Who cares? It's something that is going to draw your eye. That's all. You want to know the details? We'll talk about the details later. But contextually, do you understand what's going on? Fine. So let's just continue. You don't need the details. My father Zatzal told me. The kids in the theater had no idea what it meant when it says, Aisha Niknet Bekesef Shtar Bibiya. Whatever it means, it's something. You'll learn the details when you're older. It's the process of learning. You get some kind of vague notion that something's going on that has to do with men and women, but I don't know what that is.
It's like an
X in algebra. Basically. Learning leaves things open for a while. Okay, so now what is an amalta? You'll notice the homosexual is always based on that. The details come always at the end. You're making assumptions at the beginning. I don't even know what you're talking about. But you have some vague notion. So what is an amaltra? The founder of Breda Rebbe Barvua, Amar, you know what an amaltra is? It's bird nests. There was an old man from... Who was the old man in the universe who had the bird nests in his beard? Anyway, so it's Kini. The author of Dimi, Amar, Rebbe Barvua, Paskidi Arz. It's a Kini's Machlokas. The Rambam learns... I mean, it's a question whether it means pictures, designs of bird nests, whether it's bolet bird nests, whether it's actual bird nests, whether it's little birdie houses on top of the hekon. Remember that the Pasuk Tehillim says, "At gam tzipor matzah kein la," right there on the Mizbeach Hashem. So there's something about being free as a bird and relating to the Beit HaMikdash. And by the way, the Beit HaMikdash is very careful to scare away the crows. We attract the birds and scare the crows, right? Interesting. Okay, but in any event, that's what it was. As you walk in, your eyes are attracted by the cute little birdhouses on top of the
bag. Is that what they are? Don't we know there's beams of wood that are
in the... No, that's the other buckle. That's in Ma'aravi. Ma'aravi, it's Paskidi Arz. It's beams of wood that's jut out over the side. So, Mandyomer Paskidi Arz, that looks much more like a normal door. It's a very fancy door. But, I mean, it's nothing that is, oh my gosh, what is that? Whereas if you see bird nests, you say, oh my gosh, what is that? So you look at it, it should be kosher, even if it's lamalam yasir mama. If you say piskidi arz, kosher ken kini. If you say it's kini, piskidi arz, no. Because piskidi arz are more normal. And indeed, what is the svara that piskidi arz should be sufficient? My time, mishum denafish mashke. I guess it's because they're so... Why? In other words, they jut out on either side of the door for long. That brings your eye. It's almost like an arrow that points down towards the door. So as you're approaching the door, it's like you got a neon sign that's saying, here's the door, right? But if that's the case, I mean, a sukkah is very wide, and the rabbanans say that that's not enough. Well, it's kiman de kachashiv itle kala. It's because it's not just there. It's a design. It's chashiv. And therefore, it's a tourist site. So people say, oh, by the way, you must see the exhibition of the Piskidi Arz. So everybody looks, if you look. Therefore, it's something that attracts you. This is, by the way, Machlokas la'halacha, of how much of a tourist site does it have to be? We say that it's chashuv, in terms of actually relying on it, l'mana mi'esir nam. Now, my next question is, if some of the Korah is within the Esir nam, and some of the Korah is above the Esir nam, or same thing about a sukkah. Suppose some of your skach is within Esrim, and some of your skach is out of Esrim. What's the din? Says Rabbah, well, for the mavli it's kosher, even though it's only some, but by the sukkah it's possible. Why is that? Mashab mavli the kosher. I'm assuming the reason that it's kosher in the mavli is because who cares about the part that's above? Virtually cut off the part that's above in your mind, okay? You look at the bottom part, and who cares? It might as well not be there. But wait a minute. If you say that by the Korah, can't we say that about the Sukkah? Who cares if the Tzchak is the Malam Yesri? Just cut it off? Yeah, well, if you cut it off, you're going to have a lot of sun, aren't you? So therefore, if you're going to have a lot of sun, it'll be possible. You're using the Tzchak, but it's not there in the right place, in order to make the Tzel of the Sukkah. It has to be Tzel Tam Ruba Mechamata. So the problem will be that Chamatam Ruba Metzelta. Then I don't understand. If you want to tell me that a virtual, imaginary act has to be related to in a way that changes the realities, I mean, the reality is that there's more tzel than chama. You're saying, yeah, okay, but, you know, I mean, if in my mind I'm going to cut off the upper part, that I won't have it. So then when you cut off the upper part of the Korah, you're going to have a Korah that is too weak to support itself, and we'll see later on, that that's possible. So this becomes a Korah Nitalat Baruch. We should say something over here. I mean, you're saying that virtual things have an impact, so to speak. You have to follow the virtuality to the bitter end. What would be if I did cut it off? So then it would only be a veneer. Well, the veneer is not a kosher korah. So it's the same thing. If the veneer of the schach is not good enough to give you that the veneer of the korah is not good enough to give you a kosher korah. Ella, why did you say it's kosher? Because you're not talking about a veneer. You're talking about a veneer that's made out of solid steel. Heck, if I'm doing a virtual thing, I might as well make it a force field. So now it's very powerful. But if that's the case, I could do the same thing with the schach too. What? The thin little piece that's put on top. So if that's the case, fornir in Hebrew, if that helps. So al korcha, it must be nazik ishpodin shamatechet. We're talking about steel. Okay, so then let's make the schach so thick that a little bit of schach magically gives us the current results as measured. Tzilatam ruba mechamata. Omar rava miprazakya. Look. There's a difference, okay? A sukkah is made for, even for an individual. And an individual, he's not going to remember that some of this isn't kosher and that it has to be within. He sees the schach going up all the way. And therefore, if the schach on the bottom gets a little bit dried out, now he's only got schach on top. Or he makes the schach, he's going to notice the difference. They're going to notice. But a mavoi, there's always somebody who's got to show off that he's firmer than you, right? She's going to walk into the mavoi. Who's lapshing this mavoi? What an idiot. Zolmalami has said, this is not a kosher mavoi. So since there's a rabbi medachri adari, somebody's bound to make a fuss, and therefore they won't end up with a pasuk korah. Ravina says, look, it's very simple. Sukkah is a diaraita. And a diaraita, you have to be machmer, and maybe they'll do it wrong. A mavoi is the rabbana, no mele, and if it works out, the whole thing ends up, somebody's going to die from it. The Rabbanah, we're not Machmer on the Din, the Rabbanah, Lachmer of the Rabbanah. Now, what's interesting is that Rabbanah bar Matna, this is an amazing exercise. Every last svar that we just said could have been said in a mirror image world, which is, of course, the question of symmetry when it comes to virtual particles. Is there a symmetry to every one of these svaras? Unbelievably, the Gemara darshens every single one of these things in the inverse. Watch this. So what happens is that Rav Ada Bar Matna had the entire sugya backwards. According to him, Rabba Paskin, that for a mavoi it's pasul, but for a sukkah it's kosher. And according to him it goes like this. Why is it that a sukkah is kosher? Because you're going to say cut off the top of the schach, and therefore for all intents and purposes it's all within Esrin. Couldn't you say the same thing about a mavoi naima, also naima kalosh? Well, if you're going to say it by the mavoi, you're going to make it virtually too thin to stand on its own, and then it'll be pasul, so it'll be a korani telet barua. Well, the same thing is true over here. If you're going to do that to the schach, you're going to make the schach too thin to provide the requisite sale. So you'll end up with kamata, miruba, mitzilata. Ella, why did you say it's okay? Obviously, because you hold that virtual results are what count. Bottom line is, my instruments are measuring tzilata, miruba, mitzilata. You're telling me that virtually I chopped away the top of the schach. So then obviously, virtually, the schach that's left was enough to produce the kamatam, betzotam, rubam, kamatam. But if that's the case, go back to the Korah and say, that veneer is not wood veneer, it's made out of solid steel. And I'll talk also, kishpudin shamatechet. So they won't have a problem of being nitelet beruah. Same for backwards. Omar Ravan Biparzaki, watch this one. A sukkah, which is meant for one person. One person has to take responsibility for his life. So he looks at the sukkah and says, gosh, I don't know if it's still kosher, I better measure it. But where you've got a rabbin, you say, everybody eats in a restaurant, somebody must have looked at the hatcher. And therefore, somebody's taking care of it. I don't know. It does look a little bit like chazer, but it's probably badatz. In which case, a nemavoi, which is for a rabbin, everybody relies on everybody else. And no one will remember to do it right. As the famous saying goes, the Amri Inshe, if you got two people who are shutafim in the pot, nobody takes responsibility. It's not put in the fridge, and it's not warmed on the oven. It just sits there. Lo chamime velo karira. Ravina Amar, and here is the same svar, except in the inverse. A sukkah, which is the araita, the rabbani can afford to be makel. Why? Because on the araita, people worry. Oi, maybe I won't be yotz my mitzvah sukkah. But a mavi, which is the rabbani, big deal. You know, it's probably okay. The entire sukkah backwards. So there we have Sukkot. You write a low boy chizuk. A mavoid rabbanan is boy chizuk. Question: my avi aloga. Is there a bottom line here? There's a gemara. Yes, indeed, there's a bottom line. Rabba Bar Avula says the bottom line is they're both possible. Mavoid answer. Not like the way we quoted Rabba. Rava Amar? On the contrary, both are kosher. You're not reading carefully. The Mishnah refers to the halal of the sukkah. The Mishnah refers to the halal of the mavoi. Now, because of that, some are makbid in the gears. Remember I spoke about it. It isn't clear whether the Mishnah says lamala miyatsri mama. The simplest way of understanding it is that he's being medayik that word lamala. Why does he say lamala miyatsri mama? Miyatsri mama. So in other words, it's a reference to the entire petach is there, and that's the petach shalecha. We'll talk about it in a moment. And then above that, you have the koros. It's kosher. What do you need to? You don't need it to be within esrim. You need it to be at the edge of esrim. You know what? Of course. That's the meaning of that bright that I was driving us crazy the whole time. Why do we insist on comparing it to petach shalecha? Now I understand. It says, "Mavushu gavom yesrim amayoter mi pitcho shalecha yimaet." There's your proof. The eichal, the doorway was open up to 20. So then that means, using it as a model, it means you put the korah above the door, not inside the door. So what are we discussing? How much of the korah has to be inside? Nothing. Eitvei Rav Shimi bar Ashi l'Rav Papa. Ketzad hayose, or ketzad huose, actually, what is it that you do in a case where you have a movi that is a mala? Take the korah, and meniach korah misfat esrim ulamata. Put it beneath the edge of 20. How do you explain that? Oh, that's no problem. Say, put it above. Yeah, okay. That's a great answer, except for the minor issue that it says below. No. But I mean, except for that, it's a brilliant answer. No, says Rav Pav, you don't understand. The word lamata is just coming to tell me something else. We're going to see that there's a shiur of a mavui, not only in maximum height, but also just like a sukkah, in minimum height. So it needs to be 10 tefachim. Therefore, it's coming to tell us, akamashmalam, the lamata kelamala. Both are measured by the pure space, open space. So just like lamala, what we're referring to is chalal esrim, we need an open space maximum, can be up to esrim. Af lamata, we must have an open space of asarat tefachim. Omer Abaye Mishmeder of Nachman. When we're talking about these amot, an amah is not a very well-defined measurement, because we find in Yechezkel that there are some amot that are measured with 5 and some amot that are measured with 6. That is to say, how many tefachim are we talking about over here? So the amah that we're talking about, there's an amah bat chamisha, and there's an amah bat shisha, and that is, we're going to need to explain what exactly is the amah that we count with over here. So there are larger amot and smaller amot. And therefore, I want to explain to you that indeed, the difference is this. Wherever you find a din of an amah in a sukkah, or an amah in a mavui, over there we are talking about the amah which is smaller. It's bat chamisha tefachim. But the amah of kelayim, there we're talking about the amah that is larger, which is our standard amah, which is shisha tefachim. Now, we are assuming that the reason that this is true is because in order to define halacha properly, you're going to have to make certain that you're including it in the size of the amah, and because of that, you're always going to go lechumra. That's our assumption. So when it comes to the sukkah and the mavoi, we're going to explain each and every one of these. When it comes to the sukkah and the mavoi, when we're saying, let's say, sukkah lamala miyesrim amah, what kind of amahs? Even a small amah. Even if it's lamala from esrim small amahs, a 5 tefachim of a piece, it is still possible. All right, same thing is true of a sukkah. A sukkah that the schach is a malam yasrim, even as a small amot, is possible. But kelayim, it means big amot. How far do you have to be away from the vines, let's say, to plant something else? Amas, whatever they are, as we'll see, those are large amot, because over there, that's the corner. So that's what we assumed it meant. Now, if you analyze it, however, it's not all that pasha. Let's go through them one by one. You said that the amat mavui is amat bat chamisha, the smaller amat. Okay, what are we referring to? Lamai Yochata, I guess the gova of Amavui, right? Can't be higher than 20. I guess the pirts of Amavui. There can't be a break in the wall that's more than 10. This means small tens, not big tens, okay? Now, but what about the other halacha? That Amavui gets its din of Amavui to be hutar in this fashion only if it's 4 amot long. Now you're saying even smaller amot. But then that's a kula. Uh-huh. So then you're being inconsistent. That's a kula. Well, he holds command yomar. You don't need arba amot. You need arba tfachim. So therefore there are no amot where I'm being made. Oh, you know what? Let's not be so pedantic, okay? Arba amot, yes. But he's talking about most of the amot. I mean, what comes to your mind when you're talking about amot of amot? The height of the Korah, not the how long the movie is. Obviously, there may be a look here and there where you use your brains and you understand. I wasn't referring to that. Okay, now let's get the thing about the sukkah. Amat sukkah is b'amat bat chamisha, the smaller. What are you referring to? I understand that you're referring to the height of the sukkah. So the sukkah could be 20 amot high, small amot high. I understand that in the din of dofen akuma, Richie, dofen akuma is very similar to a nick that bends down and takes on a 45-degree angle to the rest of the body and begins to make funny noises. Now, the dofen akuma is basically the same idea in a sukkah. You have a wall which terminates in a roof, but the roof isn't tzchach. What you did over here was, which is very common in homes where the weather is cold, you have a hole in the middle of your roof where you press a button and it opens up, and then you got the sukkah in the middle of your roof. Now, how far can the edge of your schach be from the wall that's coming up to the edge of the roof? The din over there is 4 amot, because up to that it's considered to be a bent wall. So we look at it as if the wall comes up at an angle and hits the roof. And therefore, the sukkah is right on the wall. Okay, that's how luck we'll talk about it soon. But over there also, small amot, not big amot. Okay, so that's also chumrah. Yeah, but the problem is that there's other halachot of the sukkah where the small amot will be a kula. And what about the din of meshech sukkah barba amot? That you need to have a sukkah that is 4 amot by 4 amot. Of course, we don't pass them like this. But where there it's a kula. As Rebbe, the Tanya Rebbe Omer Ani, I say any sukkah that's not 4 amot by 4 amot is puzzle. Okay, he doesn't hold of Rebbe, all right? I mean, Reb Nachman wasn't after all the Rebbe. He's going like the Rabbanan. So he's saying, all of the amot that I know about in the sukkah, I don't know this business about 4 amot, whoever the 4 amot, the amot that I know about, dofen akuma, height of the sukkah, they all have to be l'chumra in amot ketanot. Okay, well, you know what? I mean, I hold like the Rabbanan to say, afilu eino machzeket ela rosh haveruba. It's still kosher as long as it gets in rosh haveruba v'shulchano. Well, you know what? I can tell you what I said before. Will you stop being so darn pedantic? Fine, I hold the Rebbe too. I'm just saying most of the amot that we talk about in sukkah. What do you think of? You think of the dinim of dofen akuma, the height of the sukkah. Not thinking about this particular halacha. Most of them are ba'amabat chamisha v'tzachumra. Okay, now let's get on to the next case. You said, but when it comes to kelayim, there you need the longer distance, and therefore the chumra would be the larger ama, and then we talk about an amabat shisha, right? Okay, what are you referring to over there? Lamai yochata. I suppose the thing that strikes me right off the bat is the special din of karachat hakerem and b'chol hakerem. Now, karachat hakerem is a bald spot, just like the word means, meaning a bare spot in your vineyard. So that you've got a place where the vines have been uprooted. Can you plant something in the middle of your vineyard in the bare spot? Vegetables and the for meat. A mechol hakerem is the area to dance around the kerem, meaning that between the wall of the vineyard and the beginning of the vines, there is an empty area where people generally will walk around it and so on. How wide can that be that might allow you to plant some veggies or some little vegetable garden up along the side? So those must be what you're referring to, okay? It's not. Karachat HaKerem, what does the shear of the Karachat HaKerem have to be? Beit Shammai says, well, it's got to be 24 amot. Beit Hillel says, no, it's enough that it should be 16 amot. So here, let's take a look at the little picture and see why this would be true, assuming that they have a little picture. I really should look at this before to see what pictures we have. All right, here's a Mechol HaKerem. Mechol HaKerem is, we need the distance from the wall of 4 amot to walk around with. We need a distance of 4 amot from the Kerem as it exists, where you're not allowed to plant within it, and then you have the area in the middle of 4 amot to plant it, and that equals 12. If you have less than 4 amot, it's not kosher to be an area to itself, and it becomes bottled to the Kerem. That's the Mechola Kerem. Now do they have the Karachat Kerem? Yes. Okay, here is the Karachat Kerem. The trees are all around. Each one of those is a vine in the picture. And then, if you have an area of Avodat HaKerem on all sides, then you have a right to plant a field. But since the Kerem surrounds you on both sides, you will need 8 Amot in the middle. Because otherwise, this part will swallow up this 4. Because it's not big enough, this part will swallow up this 4. So this gives you 4, 8, and 4. So over here, you're going to need 16.
8 on each side?
4 is the bare spot. The veggies need an area of 8 to be separated. Fine. Now, the longer the ama is, the more of a kumra this is, right? So that's why you're talking about big amot. 6 tvakim amot. Okay, very good. Betilel mripshteim atzrei amot. What did we mean by karachat hakerem? That's a kerem shechorav emtzayito. It went bad in the middle. The vines were uprooted. If you don't have 16 amot, you can't plant anything else in there. Once you have 16 amot, then give it kidei avodato, means be marked 4 amot from the edge of the kerem, and then the rest of it you can be zorea, which gives you 8 by 8, in the case that we had over here to be zorea, because that is the call the avodata kerem. Anything within that area are things that need, you need to loosen the soil and water and nutrients and so on.
Once it's called a kerem.
Oh no. The Mechola Kerem is the place between the kerem and the wall. If over there, Ancham Shtem Isra Amah, if you don't got 12 Amot, Loyav Izar Lasham. But once you have 12, and you can leave 4 for the general area where the trucks pass or people walk around the kerem, then Noten Lo Kedei Avodato, mark 4 Amot from the edge of the kerem, and Zareya Tashar. Now, I understand that obviously the wider those amot are, the more you're being machmer. So I appreciate the halacha. The problem is that there is a place where the wider ama is a kula. And where is that? Since all of these halachot are only said on a technically viable kerem. Now, suppose a kerem is planted inappropriately, and you put the rows too close together. So you've got too many vines in the area that is meant to support them. It loses its din of a kerem. And you do not have to be marked 4 amot in such a kerem, because it's not considered to be viable. What is the distance that you need to have, ha'ika ritzufim, where you must have 4 amot between the vines, and you don't, and over there you're going to be mako, because the wider the ama is, the more likely you're to say, oh, well, they're too close together because it doesn't, the wide amas is still, they're hitting each other. So therefore, I don't care, and I can plant within, over there I have to be marking kishat fachim, but I don't have to be marking garba amas from the bottom of a single vine. That's only a din in a vineyard. That's not kerem anatua al pochot mi arba amot. Maybe shimon amir ain't no kerem. That's not a kerem. It's not viable. There's a chachomim say, no. It is, because obviously what's going to happen when it starts to fail is that you're going to uproot every other row. That's the only way to keep it growing. So for all intents and purposes, view it now virtually as having been uprooted. So how does Reb Nachman get away with saying that we can use an ama that is big? Yeah, maybe he holds like the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan say we do the virtual uprooting. Therefore, it's never no gear. So he holds a grabon, who says it's a kerem anyway. Or, once again, I can tell you, stop being so pedantic. Even if I hold like Rabbi Shimon, it's still fine, because I'm talking about Rov Amot. And Rov Amot talk about the Mecholot HaKerem, or it talks about the Karachat HaKerem. Elamiata, Lotani Le'am Altra, because the Echo had an Amaltra, and nonetheless, Filoach Yisrim Amot HaGavoa. That's not. Wait a minute. I'm a tiyuf to that Mishnah, you know, darn well was talking about. Amalterot of the Ulam Tanya. That bothers you, my cushion. We know that to be the case. I mean, you're not doubting that, are you? So, anyway, back to my question. So, that's one halacha, which is not in the gas here. But the part is looking. Have im yesha ma'adra filigavon yoter me'asrim amal. Rav himself says this. Ein atzarich l'mayim. Omrav Yosef, why Rav? The amatra is a brayta. Well, is it a reliable brayta? Man katanila. Omrav, by a very reliable person. Achama brayta Rav baravua katanila. So if it's a reliable brayta, sentavi amatra matnita v'tikshel Rav. Why isn't it a problem to Rav? Omrav, Rav, why is everybody focusing on me? You know, why don't you mind your own business and look at the brayta? How are you going to answer the brayter, one of which uses the Pilcha Shalecha as the model, and the other one which says the Amaltara is Makshir Filo Lamalam Yesrim, huh? So Maitlach Lamemer, it's obviously Machloket Anoim. So what are you bothering me? So Vadidinami, I'm learning this another time. Remnach Mar Yitzchak says, oh, no, no, not so pushed. Without Rav's insistence that the brayter, or what the references to the Heichal means that the Heichal is the model, I wouldn't have understood the bright of that. Why would have said, Matnita Ahadadi Lokashan? The Rabbanan are not learning it out of Pischa Shal Heichal. For heaven's sakes, the whole thing is the Rabbanan. Forget learning out of Pischa Shal Heichal anyway. It's weird. It's a Svara. What is the Svara type of mind? Mishum Akira. That's the whole part of the point of the Korah. So then, why didn't the boy, did they use the word miyote v'pitcho shaleicha? That was a simona b'yama, but it certainly isn't the mekor. So wait a minute, so according to Nachbar Yitzchak, so then, okay, if he doesn't hold of Rabbis for by sukkah, so then he doesn't have a problem of unnecessary repetition. But if he holds of Rab, and remember that Rabba said, "Ksiv l'man yedu dorotechem ki b'sukkot oshavti et b'nei Yisrael." And that is the reason that a circle of Malam Yesrim Amah is possible, because Ad Esrim Amah Adam Yodea Shadar B'Sukkah L'Malam Yesrim Amah In Adam Yodea. Why? Mishum Nolo Sholto Ba'ina. So then that means that the Omach Lok B'Shum Rebut and Rabbonu by Sukkah is Be'Kera Pligit. But that's the same Machlok we had by Mavui. And therefore I ask you, according to Nachman, if Lugi V'Tarte Lomali, that's Rechem. Let's say Yashmin Gabi Sukkah was over there, reviewed as Matir, given to the Yeshiva Avida, Sholtaba Ina, but Mavoy, you know what, people are walking with their heads looking up in the air? Over there, so you look up and maybe he's made the Rabbon and Edel Sholtaba Ina. And on the contrary, Yashmin Baha by Mavoy. I would say, Baha by Rabbon, Abba'ach, maybe made it a reviewed because you're sitting. Therefore, Tzricha. By the way, what is an Amalter? Rav Chama, Breda Rabba, Paravoma, bird nest. Which is not so unusual. Kosher came kani. Mamanyamakini, paskidi arza, that's not so important. Who's going to notice that? Look. What indeed is the svar of the manyamapaskidi arza? I guess it must be because it's not fish mashre. I mean, a sukkah is also not fish mashre. Nonetheless, the Rabban said it doesn't matter. That isn't the svar. The svar is because given to kachoshiv, eat like kala. Miktzat korah betoch esrim, miktzat korah lamala miyesrim, miktzat tzchach betoch esrim, miktzat tzchach lamala miyesrim, omer rabba, well, by a mova, it's kosher, by a sukkah, it's possible. Well, where do you figure that? Masha, by mova, the kosher, I assume you're saying klosh, so by sukkah, you should also say klosh. No, you say klosh by a sukkah, you're left with possible tzchach because of kamtami ruba mitzilta. No, and if you say klosh by a korah, you're left with a koranic talat peruah, which is possible. Elamai, al korchach, your virtual acts don't affect the physical realities. So we view it, okay, so then it'll be shpudim shomatechet. So then the sukkah also, let's view this as na se tzilato mirubah mechamata. Omer Rabba mi parzake, I'll tell you, a sukkah is for a yochid. He's not going to pay any attention. A mavoi, which is for a rabbin, somebody's bound to start complaining. So they're going to be matkriyadad. Ravina Amar, it's very simple. Sukkah is diorite. A diorite, Rabbanan Amachmer, maybe you'll do it wrong. A mavoi, Rabbanan, as long as some of it is betoch esrim, it's also good. Loch mirabe Rabbanan. Revada bar mata, mata lachmait, said Rabbi Ibcha. That actually what Rabbi says by a mavoi is fasa by sukkah tshira. And according to him, it goes like this. Mashna sukkah tshira, I mean a klosh. So you should say the same thing by a mavoi nami. Leva klosh. Ah, because he kalashta, have a karnitala barok. Nu, and he kalashta, have a kamatam rugami tzilta. Ella, of course, what are you going to tell me? That the truth is, so say the same thing. Oh, my brother, exactly the opposite of this, for we had the original approach. Circa, which is for a yokid, Rami, and afshu mitka. A mova, the rabim, everybody's tzemech on everybody else, and they end up eating dreifs. Because they're not matkri, they're not matkri, they're the bishutzi, lochamimi velokarira. Ravina Amar, in this version also, exactly the opposite. Circa is the arayta, you can afford to be maker. Lo boy chizuk. Movi, the rabbon and boy chizuk. Bottom line, my avila, Rabba Barvula says both are possible. Rava says, on the contrary, both are kosher. Take a look at the Mishnayot. In both cases, it's referring to the halal of the sukkah, the halal of the mavoi. And anything else is right at the edge. I'm related with Papa Rava. Yes, that's the meaning of that brayta. Tanya the Messiah, Yeyalacha, mavoi shu gavoa mi'esrim ama, yoter bipitcho. Shall hechal yima eid and the hechal gufa? Obviously, halalo was esrim. Eid Reb Shimon Rav Ashi and Rav Papa. It says keteros miniach hakorah misvat esrim lamata. Yeah, well, it really means lamala. That's brilliant. Well, lamata katani. No, that means, and it's true as well. If the shear was lamata mi'asara, in other words, lamata is kelamala, just like lamala. I'm telling you. The halala can be esrim. Lamata, I'm telling you, the halal must be asara. That's the point. When it comes to the amma of a sukkah and the amma of a mavui, we're talking about a smaller amma of five tvachim. When we're talking about the amma of kilayim, we're talking about the large amma of six tvachim. That's bachisha. Okay, let me get this straight. Amat mavoi, you're saying, is amat bat chamisha. I guess for chumra, legabe what? Okay, how tall can it be? Smaller amma. How wide can a pirtz of a mavoi be? Smaller amma. But wait a minute, aika meshech mavoi ba'arba amat, where over there will turn out to be a kula. Well, that's because he holds lemaiser of Nachman that the bounty armor is arba tefachim is enough. You don't need arba amot. Or even if he agrees he need arba amot, he's not trying to tell you every last amma in the world. He's saying rov amot. And when you said by a sukkah, amma the sukkah was amma bat hamisha. Legabe what? Well, the gova of a sukkah, you have to be machmer, only a small amma. Dofen akuma, you have to be machmer, only a small amma for ammas. But what about the din of meshech sukkah arba amot? We're over there. If it's a small amma, you're going to be makel. The Tanya Rebbe Omer Omer Ani, Kol sukkah shein barba amot al arba amot is psula. Well, Reb Nachman probably goes like the Rabbanan, who say, afiloina marzeket al rosha veruba vishulchana. Or you know what? Stop being so pedantic again. Le'olam, it could be, he holds of Rebbe. He's talking about rov amot. Now let's move on to kilayim. Amat kilayim, you said over there, I'm going to be machmir by saying it's the wider amot. So it's amot bat shisha. Lamai yogata. Okay, let's say the case of karachat akerem. Mechol akerem, that's not karachat akerem bet shamayim remesim arba amot, betilem remesheshesre amot. Mechol akerem bet shamayim remesheshesre amot, betilem remesheshesre amot. What is a karachat akerem? It's a kerem shekhar gamsito. So therefore, if you're not 16 amot, you can't plant it there at all because the entire area becomes bottled to the kerem on either side. But once you have sheshesre amot, so then, by being marchik arba amas from all around, and your zareah, whatever is left. What is a b'chola kerem? B'chola kerem is ben kerem legader. So if you don't have shtei mitzvah amot, you can't plant there. But once you have shtei mitzvah amot, again, you're marchik arba amot from the kerem, arba amot from the wall, and zareah tashar. Yes, but there's also a case where a longer amas akula, because if it's planted without sufficient space between it, it loses its shem kerem. So ikar ritzufim ba'arba amot ritzakula. Titznan kerem anatua pachot mi'arba amot. Rabbi Shimon Omer no longer has the din of a kerem. V'chachamim omrim kerem. V'ro'im etem tzayim ki ilo einam. Well, maybe Rabbi Nachman like Rabban, who says that it is a kerem. So maybe it's something again. Aloha. Or you know what? Maybe Olzak Reb Shimon. And again, he's talking about Rov Amot, not every single Amma in the whole Sugya of Kalei HaKerem.
Hey, Staff is Dav Gimel. We are not quite up to speed yet. We were holding back on Dav Beit Amidbar. So the last thing we learned was that, according to Rav, the issue of a Korah, the way that the Korah works, is it turns the entranceway into the Mavui, into a doorway. And as a doorway, it becomes basically surrounded by Mechitzot, essentially. And how do we learn this out? We learn it out of Pitcho Shel Heichal. We originally thought that according to Rebbe, and Pitcho Shel Heichal was precisely the measurements that the Mishnah gives us, the maximum size Petach, which is that it can't be more than 20 amot high, and it can't be more than a 10 amot wide. So everything worked out fine. We thought that Rebbe Yehuda, who argued also, because he was basing the concept of Petach on the Beit HaMikdash, except that he was looking at the Pitcho Shel Ulam, and he felt that we could use that as the model, and therefore he upped it to the size of Pitcho Shel Ulam, which was double. It was 40 amot, and by 20 amot high. We then showed that that was a mistake, and actually Rabbi Yehuda did not limit the height to 40. He said even 50 was good, so he couldn't have been using the Pitcho Shel Ulam. And therefore we said, okay, Rabbi Yehuda apparently, Rav made a mistake in thinking that just because the Chachamim apparently were using the Petach Shel HaHechal as a model, and the reason that Rav thought that is because it says in a Braita that the Sukkah, the Mavli rather, Shugavah Yisri Mama, is possible because it has to be similar to Petach Shel HaHechal, it's a kid Petach Shel HaHechal is what it says. Yotermi Petach Shel HaHechal Yema'et, which seems to be saying we're using Petach Shel HaHechal as a model. Because of that, he assumed so was Rabbi Yehuda. It turns out Rabbi Yehuda is simply looking to architectural standard. Architectural standard, as you find in Petach Shel Melachim, even 50 on that high. Again, if in reality Rav's approach is not entirely something new that argues on the idea of Heker, we assume that he takes into consideration Heker as well, even though he's saying it's like a Petah. There are some Rishonim who take that approach. They understand that indeed the Raya from Pitcham Shel Milachim is not simply architectural standards, but rather what would be the point of somebody investing money in making these fabulously beautiful doors if people didn't notice them. The whole point is conspicuous consumption, right? So if nobody sees, it's not conspicuous. So therefore, it must be it's a good hacker, according to that. But that's the logic in Rabbi Yehuda. According to that, he's not saying a whole brand. We spoke about this in the opening discussion as to whether, according to Rav, this is a completely new approach. But let's assume it is. Anyway, keep things easy. That's the way we've been learning it. And according to Rav, we're looking at what constitutes a door. A door, a petach, basically is a mechitza for all intents and purposes. I mean, people don't confuse it. May not be a mechitza d'oraita, but people won't confuse it, the mavli that is, with a reshut rabbim. Asks the Gemara, now we're one-fourth of the way up from the bottom. Ask the Gemara, if Rav holds that the Rabbanan indeed are learning it mi pitcho shel heichal, so imi pitcho shel heichal gemiri, why don't they have to pattern the door of the mavli on the pitcho shel heichal? Now last time we looked, the pitcho shel heichal had doors on it. It wasn't just an open space. So if he's going to use the Pitcho Shel Heichal as the dogma for a petach, well then for heaven's sakes, it's got to have doors. This doesn't have any doors. Now, Lamaisa, this is a rather strange question, because since the whole idea over here is that we're really comparing it to the Mishkan didn't have doors. It was just wide open. So why are we? So Tosfos says that, well look, the Mishkan anyway violates our standards for doors, because it doesn't have gifufi. So anyway, we wouldn't use the Mishkan as a symbol for a door. It's only the Megidash that we call Petach in this context. The Mishkan was called Petach HaMoed, but that was a special thing. Yeah. But others say it's very simple. We're talking over here, look, you want to learn from the Mishkan, fine, so then limit it to the height of the Mishkan, 10 Amot. If you want to go to the Pitcho Shel Heichal, then use the Pitcho Shel Heichal as it is. The Pitcho Shel Heichal have doors, so then you have to have doors. So that's number one. Why does it need doors? Alam Etznan, why then does it say, and finally, this is the way the Gemara sneaks in the Hechsher Mavli, which in fact the opening to us was asked, don't you think we should have started with that? And tell us what it's all about before you tell us what's possible, what's kosher. Okay, but anyway, we now know that the Mishnah says later on, Tanan, Hechsher Mavli, what will make a Mavli kasher? Bechamayim lechi v'korah. You have to have not only the beam going across the top, which is what we've been talking about so far, but also a lechi, and Beit Hillel Omrim, either way, you could use a lechi o korah. But nobody suggests that we need doors. So why is that? And says the Gemara, because the doors had nothing to do with the petach. We have no reason to assume that the existence of the doors are there for petach. The existence of the doors are there to prevent people from looking, staring into the Eichal. Because the petach of the Eichal is called petach, b'zman shel patuach, and the doors are wide open anyways. To say that we need the doors in order to turn it into a petach, we have no basis to say that. Okay, let me ask something else then. The Mishnah assumes that all of this shiur was said only where there's no tzurat ha-petach. Tzurat ha-petach being two stylized lechis on either side and one stylized Torah on top. Right? Now, obviously, the Heichal had a tzurat ha-petach because it had a top to it. It kept going up above the door. The door wasn't like the Mishkan. That was the end of it. So it had a tzurat ha-petach. It had the two sides which supported the door, and then it had the Korah on top, which we'll talk about later. That is a tzurat ha-petach. And if that's the case, then the shiur that we have of 20 height by 10 width already incorporated in tzurat ha-petach. So how can Rav say that the Mishnah makes sense when it says, well, but if it's larger than that, if you make it tzurat ha-petach, it's okay. What do you mean? The model that you're using for that particular size had a tzurat ha-petach. That means that you can't go beyond that size, even with a tzurat ha-petach. So how does he explain the Mishnah? Why then? And it was only 10 amot wide. Alam atzan, why then does Rav understand the Mishnah to say, im yesh lo tzurat ha-petach, af al pi shirachav mi esra amot, enot sarich lemayit? You don't have to make it any smaller if you use a tzurat ha-petach. That doesn't make any sense, according to Rav. Says the Gemara, you're right, it sure doesn't. The question here is according to Rav. Well, I got news for you. Rav was listening in to when his son's Rebbe, Chia, Rebbe Yehuda, was teaching Chia Bar Rav. He was telling him over this Mishnah in Erevin. And Rav was listening in. He said this in front of Rav, Kameda Rav. And he was teaching him according to our gears in the Mishnah. And Rav said to him, no, that's the wrong gears. Excuse me. Don't teach my son that way. Atnaye. Teach him tzarech lemayit, but even with a tzurat ha-petach, you'll have to cut it down. So that means that Rav has been perfectly consistent. According to his approach, that the din over here is dependent on creating an opening, and therefore we distinguish it from Rishut HaRabim. So in Hochinami, if we're using as a model for the maximum size of an opening, the Pitcha Shel Heichal, you're absolutely right, said Rav. The Mishnah as we have it is a wrong girsa. And that even with a tzurat ha-petach, tzarech lemayit. Says the Gemara, but again, continuing this idea that according to Rav, the Rabbanan pattern, the din of Mavui on the doorway of the Heichal, then lo tahanilei amaltara. Why would an amaltara help to make it even more than 20 amas, as we're going to see now? An amaltara was a decorative topping to the door, which the Beit HaMikdash had. We'll talk precisely what that decoration was a little bit later. But the thing is that the Heichal had an Amaltara. The Heichal Amaltara Havilah, Afiloachi Esim Amal de Gavon. Nonetheless, it was a maximum of 20 Amaltara, including the Amaltara. Titznan, Chamesh Amaltaraot Shalmela Hayu Al Gabav. There were five levels of Amaltaraot that were made out of Mela. Rashi says Mela is wood that has walnuts growing on it.
That's what?
That has these, Afatzim, which suck from the wood. So what we would call distressed wood kind of look, to give the Heichal a distressed wood look. Now, a lot of Rishonim have a problem with this because you're not allowed to use wood in the building of the Beit HaMikdash because of the Svar of Lo Titalacha called Eitz, Eitz Mizbach Hashem Elokecha. And therefore, it's decoration. But, and there's many answers to that. One answer is that these amaltarot were mishuka into the building, whereas something that is netiyah would have to be eitz particularly. Others learn netiyat eitz means standing in the ground as eitz, not part of the building itself. Okay. But in any event, so Rashi learns that the amaltarot were made out of wood. And we'll see later on that it says, Beferish shall eretz, according to it's clearly it was an eitz. So you all got Zulamalamizu. And if you remember your little pictures that they like to spread around the Temple Institute over here. So you have these expanding. You got a picture here?
Of course.
Ah, of course. There you go. Oh, that's a nice picture. Except that it's wrong according to all those.
What else is new?
It can't be sticking out, but all right. Maybe that's just an optical illusion. So there are the wild
swans. What can't stick out more than?
It can't jut out. But this may just be an optical illusion. The temple thing, they make it jutting out.
Small
to large, yeah, it's a little it's decorative.
Looks like a kalba.
Yeah, gives it a
kind of. There's a natural name for that design. That kind of, like a border, it's supposed to be a border, around the ceiling, or attaching a to a
floor. Yeah, but that's not this. You mean like a valence or a,
I forgot what it's called. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay, but anyway, the shear of the Heichal itself included the Amal Torah, and nonetheless, it was only 20, and yet it says later that an Amal Torah helps to make it more than 20. Wait a minute, this is an aside. We're about to go off on a tangent. Wait, just 1 minute over here. Hi, Mike, how are you asking? I mean, you haven't asked it yet, but I know where you're going. So how can you ask a question from Amal Torah on the Heichal? How do you know there were Amal Torah on the Heichal? Maybe when it says Chamesh al Maltarot Hayu al Gabav, it's referring to the Petach of the Ulan, not of the Heichal. So Diomaki Tanya Hid and Maltarot Bu Ulan Tanya. And you're asking a question based on the fact that it was on the Heichal? Maybe it was on the Heichal. That doesn't bother me. Hi, Mike Kusha. Dilma Tavnit Echak Tavnit Ulam. Now, of course, Dilma is very strange because you can't ask a Kasha based on a Dilma. And indeed, the Ritva says this Dilma is Lav Dafka. It brings other examples where Gemara used the word Dilma to something that is known to be the case, but just accusing the other person of having jumped to the conclusions that it could be otherwise. In other words, why did you think that? Maybe it's this way, and it happens to be that way. But that's the way the word Dilma is being used. According to which, what we're really saying is that Tavnit Echal is Tavnit Ulam. In other words, indeed it was said about the Tavnit Ulam, but it's also said about the Tavnit Echal. Because the Ulam, essentially, was meant to provide an image of the Echal, but an expanded image, like a magnified image. It was double the size. And then inside of it, it created a perspective as you go into the Echal. But it certainly was the same shape. Everything was the same. So if there were Chamesh Amal Torot on the Ulam, then right behind it, you would look through and give a sense of depth at a Petach with exactly the same shape, but half the size. So you get the picture. So in other words, that means that Petach Shel Heichal indeed had Amal Torot. Anyway, okay. End of tangent. Back to pop out now to the level of the Gemara. Aloma Amar Rabbi Eloh Amar Rav. So given that the Heichal had Amal Torot, why is it then that Rabbi Eloh Amar Rav, this is Rav, man. Rav himself was the one who said that we pattern it out Petach Shel Heichal. And here Rav is quoted as saying that if you're using a Korah, which is Rechava Arba'ah, Fapisha Eina Briah, Im Yeshla Amaltra, Afiru Bevoa Yoter Miyatsrim Amma. The important part for us is this bottom piece here. I'll talk about the other thing in a moment. But Rav here is quoted as saying that if there's an Amaltra on the Korah, then you could have that Korah even up higher above 20. But if Rav is using the model of the Petach Shel Heichal, which had an Amaltra, and nonetheless was only 20, how could you say that? That's the question. This other piece is an interesting aside, which, of course, we'll be getting into later when we get into the dinim of the Korah. But the ruling legabi the Korah is that it has to be strong enough, a Korah, to be able to put an Ariach on it, which is a half brick. What we would call a brick, basically. Their bricks were complete squares. Our bricks are Ariachs. So Rav says over there that if the Korah is 4 tefachim wide, then it doesn't even need to be strong enough because it's clearly recognizable even if it's very, very thin and it's just digged. It would be okay. Fine, that's something we'll talk about later. And if, furthermore, he says, if it has an Amal Torah, then it could be even more than 20 Amos. And that doesn't make sense according to Rav. Omer of Yosef, this was a misquote. It happens to be that Amal Torah was not said by Rav. This din of an Amal Torah allowing you a Korah L'malam Yeser happens to be a Braita, not Rav. Well, man katani la. How do we know that's a good Braita? Who said that Braita? Omer Abaye? Well, look, it's Chama Bereda Rav Baravur katani la. What are you saying? We don't know who said it, therefore it's not a problem. This is a very reliable Braita. It was quoted by Chama Bereda Rav Baravur. And if that's the case, so then let it be an accepted Braita, be a kasha on Rav. What do I care if Rav contradicts himself or the Braita contradicts him? So Tehavi Amaltara Matanita Vetikshe la Rav. Why don't we look at it that way? Asking on Rav from the Braita. And I'll tell you why, says Rav. You know, you guys talking all about me. That's all you like to do. Talk about me. Take me out of the picture, okay? Take me out of the discussion. You don't have a problem? You have exactly the same problem without me. Didn't the Braita say earlier that if you have a mavoi that is gavoa miyesri mama, more than pitcha shel heichal, amen, I didn't say that, the Braita said that, okay? So more than pitcha shel heichal. And now you have another Braita that says that if you have an amaltra, it's kosher even more than pitcha shel heichal. What do I have to do with it? Ask yourselves, what are you going to do? Forget about good old Rav, okay? He's not here for you guys to kick around anymore. So now, what are you going to do now about the two Braita? Do you have a problem anyway? What are you going to say when you've got that problem? You're going to say, well, obviously, they must argue on each other. The Braita that's saying that we use the Pitcha Shel Heichal as a model would never have said that an Amaltra is kosher if it's more than 20 Amaltai. The other one, obviously, is not using Pitcha Shel Heichal as the model, because otherwise, how could it allow an Amaltra that's more than 20 Amaltai? And fine, so if that's the case, what's your question on me? I also was stating my opinion according to one of these approaches. So, Levidinami, Tanayi. I'm just saying it according to that Mandi Omar. That's all. Nakub by Yitzchak says, oh no, that's so simple. If it wouldn't have been for Rav, we would never have gotten into trouble over here. Below Rav, Matnaita Adarilo Kashan, we would never have thought that it was a problem. It's Rav is the one who keeps insisting that just because of the fact that the Braita used the Heichal as the reference for the 20 Amot type, therefore it must be the source of the 20 Amot. Now that was a jumping to conclusion, as far as I'm concerned. Because if it wouldn't have been for Rav, I would simply have said, the Rabbanan have no interest in the size of the Petach Shel Heichal. It's Rav who prejudiced us all along, because remember that Rav's approach is here, that the purpose of a Korah is to create a Petach. So because of him, we started looking at where do we find petachs in the Torah. So we found the petach ha'ulam, and we found the petach ha'echal, and we found the petach of the shar, and we've gone crazy over petachs. Meanwhile, you forgot that this was all Rav's imagination. Nobody told you anywhere that it's because of a petach, did they? So suppose Rav wouldn't have said anything. I'll tell you what I would have said. I would have said, L'Rabbanan Korah Taimamai, why did the Rabbanan say it has to be 20 Amot? It's simple logic, that's all. The point over here is that you want people to be able to distinguish a mavui from a reshut harabim. And what do we need? References. What we're looking for is to do something that will make an impact on people. Fine. So if you've got a korah there, it doesn't look at all like reshut harabim. It's obviously defined in terms of its mechitzot, whether it's technically a mechitza, not technically a mechitza. That's a separate issue. But people certainly will not confuse it, and that's what we're trying to achieve. Okay, the only reason that the Braita mentioned Pitcha Shel Heichal is a simple reference that people remember as a simon, the height, 20 amot, just like the Heichal. Now I got it. So tomorrow somebody says, didn't he say 30? No. He said like the Pitcha Shel Heichal. That's all. But he was not telling you a source for the din. He was just giving you a simon for the din. So therefore, yetami Pitcha Shel Heichal simana ba'alma. Therefore, we should basically ignore Rav's whole approach. This has nothing to do with searching for some type of vague notion called that Rav has created, called a petach. What defines a petach halachically? Maybe nothing does. And we're not looking for a petach. We're looking for a heker. And that's the whole point over here.
Isn't the heker in the wrong place?
Why is it in the wrong place?
I mean, isn't the issue that you can carry from the Hasarot into the Mavui? That's what we're allowed to do?
The issue is that the Mavui should not be Rishut Rabim in your mind. That's all. That's the issue. Once it then has the reshut, the Rabbanan, that you can carry within it, now we need to fix it up in a way that allows it to carry from the chotzer into it. But you don't necessarily have to have those two things. But suppose you have something in the mavri. You want to carry within the mavri. You could carry within the mavri once it's a reshut hayachid.
But it is a reshut.
I mean, you're right, that's a reshut hayachid, but the Rabbanan wanted to make it clearly reshut hayachid so you won't confuse
it
with a street. That's right.
It's not just
right, we're machmer on it.
Even though you wouldn't necessarily see a heker from the chatzer into the mavui.
You don't have to, right. It's two completely different issues here. So therefore, we're looking at a sin. Now hold on one second. Rabbi Bar Yitzchak generates a whole new issue over here. He's claiming that the problem that we're coming to address is heker. But you see, according to Rabbi Bar Yitzchak, he runs into a problem with the Mishnah Sukkah. Because if he agrees with Rabba's approach to Sukkah, if he's got a problem. So it's anything low sphere like the Rabbah. If Reb Nachman does not agree with Rabbah's reasoning as to why a sukkah can only be 20 amas, 20 amas, then everything's fine. But if he holds a Rabbah, we got a problem. What does Rabbah say? Rabbah says the source of the din of 20 Amot is, since it says in the Torah, Laman yedu dorotechem, ki besukot oshavti b'nei Yisrael. So it means that when you sit in a sukkah, you're expected to be aware of the fact that you're sitting in a sukkah. Laman yedu dorotechem. And therefore, ad esrim amadam yodea shadar besukkah. Therefore, the Rabbanan say you can't have it more than 20, because up to 20 people will be aware of the schach. Once it's above 20, they won't be aware of the schach. Lamalam esrim amah ein adam yodea. Why not? Mishum de lo shalta be eina. Now, that means that the sukkah boils down to the same idea as the Korah. Hecker. We want it to be nikar. So what it's saying over there in sukkah is that if it's above 20, it's not nikar. No. So what do I understand? I need to repeat the same sukkah over here. The same machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan. It's the same logic. So then if sukkah nami be'ekera plige, if Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan are simply arguing what constitutes a heker, so I fluke it tarti lomeli, why would they have to argue twice the same issue? I'm smart enough to apply it. I'll tell you, says Rabbi Nachman. Even if I agree, it still would need to be argued twice. Because, tzricha, let's say I would have said it by sukkah. I would have said, okay, by sukkah, the reason that Rabbi Yehuda says a sukkah can be higher than 20 amot, just like he says over here, he says it can be higher than 20 amot. You know why? Because people sit in a sukkah.
Your
eyes, when you're sitting, look, when you're walking, generally speaking, you're looking where you're going. You're not wandering around looking around. A sukkah is not meant for walking. A sukkah is meant for sitting. Sitting, people are aware of where they're sitting eventually. So kivadila yeshiva avida shalta baina. Mashen kena mavoi, but generally speaking, it's a passageway. So dila yiluk avid. Maybe we would have thought that Rabbi Yehuda is motive to the Rabbanan, and in that case, if it's not low enough, just don't notice. And therefore, I would agree when it comes to a mavoi, it can only be 20 amot high. On the other hand, yashin and bahav, we only would have known mavoi, I would have said, okay, why did the Rabbanan say it has to be 20? Because you have to be aware of it while you're walking. But maybe when you're sitting in a sukkah, they would be motive to Rabbi Yehuda. You don't have to have it only within 20, because you'll be aware of it even as higher. Therefore, tzricha, we need both mishnayot. That doesn't bother me. By the way, what is that amaltra anyway? That's a Greek word. My amaltra. Chama brei the rabba baravua amri. You know what it was? It was kini. It was bird's nests. Not really bird's nests. But what it was basically engravings along the Korah that were just supposed to be beautiful. So it was as if, and we know it's interesting that David HaMelech refers to Gan Tzipor Kanabai, right? And it's something about the bird finding a place in the Beit HaMikdash, and without it we're all like, Kitzipor HaNodedet Minkina, Ken Ish Nodeid Mimekomo, that's the concept of Galut, and the Bayit is a place in which we find a home. So a bird's nest is a remez, a natural remez to a home. And therefore they had pictures, engravings of bird's nests over the entranceway to the Eichel. Very beautiful idea. But anyway, it certainly caught your attention. That's Reb Chama Breda Rabba Bar Vizpshad. And Kiyasa Reb Dini Amar, when Reb Dini came from Eretz Yisrael, he said, well, Amri ben Marova, in Eretz Yisrael, they say that it wasn't necessarily keen, it was Paske di Arza. It was just long beams of Erez, cedar wood. So the Paske, the Arza, since they extended widely, they grab your eyes more than something that you're just looking. If your eyes are limited in their perspective through small opening, then they don't see something high. But if you're looking at something that's wide, then you do see something higher. So over here, it basically extended your vision and grabbed your attention. Now, mandiyam piske di arza kosh ken kine. If you say piske di arza would be sufficient extension, certainly kine would be a sufficient grabbing your attention, because that's very bolate. Mandiyam kine avo piske di arza, maybe not. Mandiyam piske di arza my timer, we should not fish mashke. How does it work for piske di arza to grab your attention? By widening your perspective. Well, if that's the case, a sukkah is basically a widened perspective, because nobody limited a sukkah to 10 amas. So why, I mean, if a widened perspective allows a higher Korah, why doesn't a widened perspective allow a higher schach? So sukkah is nafish mashre and gam rabbanan delo. So it can't be that. That can't be the reason, because otherwise we should have allowed schach also to be higher in a sukkah. You're right. But given the kachashiv itle kala, actually, it's because people talk about it. Which is really the truth behind 90% of these displays. If nobody would talk about it, nobody would even notice, you know. I mean, to go through Central Park and somebody puts up some curtains there. But since, I mean, the New York Times makes such a fuss over it, it must be extremely meaningful. So you go there and find it meaningful. Certainly it's true over here. Everybody talks about this incredible design on the Eichhaus. Everybody's walking in to look it up. But same thing would be true in Europe. People are going to be talking about the designs and this and that. Everybody's going to be looking. So, okay, so they'll be aware of the model. But I think that, that's the point.
And these two, they definitely are going to be cheaper. It's not that the wood was carved.
It's interesting. There are shitas. Rabbeinu Yonatan actually says the wood was carved, but nonetheless, it seems to it seems to demand less paskiviyaris. Whereas here, the whole idea was the design. Whereas paskiviyaris, the idea wasn't the design. Miktzat korah. Esther more like this. Miktzat korah betoch esrim. Miktzat korah lemala meesrim. Miktzat schach betoch esrim. Miktzat schach lemala meesrim. What would be the din? If not the whole korah was within the 20 limit, but a little bit of it was. Or not if all of the schach was in the 20, but a little bit of it was. What would be the din? Says Rav, I'll tell you. In the mavui, it's okay. In the sukkah, it's bad news. Really? What's the difference? Mashrab the mavui to kosher. I mean, I assume the reason you're saying it's kosher in the mavui is because you're saying, look, for all intents and purposes, ignore the part that's above. Who cares, right? Just cut it off.
It's a long stick.
Cut it off in your mind, that's all. Forget about how much higher it goes. Just look at the bottom.
The kore, yes. You mean the thickness of the kore?
Yeah. Cut off the thickness of the kore in your mind, okay? You still have a kore. Kore didn't have to be thick. So therefore, what you're saying is, I assume that the Movitz kosher to come in close. Mentally remove the top of the kore and then say, okay, let's just deal with what we've got. Why can't you say the same thing in a sukkah? In a sukkah, if you say close, you won't have enough shadow. You'll have more light than shadow, and then it won't be good schach. So, ikalashta avarechamta merubah mitzilta? No, so if that's the case, if you make it in such a thin korah, it won't be able to support a brick either. It'll say, no, we're talking about not part in the middle, we're talking about part of the thickness. So, I mean, it's, you could say the same thing. And what's worse, it could be so thin, it becomes a korah hanitelet baruach. And we'll see later on that if it's a korah that can blow away in the wind, then it's not a kosher korah. And I know the reason that you said it's kosher. Because you're saying, hey, dum-dum, I only said to do it in your mind. I didn't say to really shake it down. It ain't going anywhere. It weighs a ton. So, but if you're saying that, you say the same thing about the sun. The shade ain't going anywhere either. So why doesn't it essentially boil down to the same issue? So you kalash the avile kara and he tells Elav Korchach, what you're saying is, fine. So let's view the piece of kara that we have as made out of steel, okay? So it's not going to blow away. So kinasa kishbodim shom matecher. So you're saying, same thing is true of the schach. I mean, since this whole thing is a mental exercise, why don't we call it silatar min rubam mechamata? Omar rova mi parzakiran. The real reasoning for making a distinction between the mavui and the sukkah is simply because of a takona. A sukkah can be used even by an individual. And what happens is that as time goes on, and maybe some of the schach fell off that was within Esrim, he'll be left with his only schach lamalam yesrim. Won't even think about it. It was kosher last week. Why isn't it kosher this week? So, mamela, it's all right. Mashenkin, if you have a mavui, there's always somebody who has to be holier than thou. And he's going to say, hey, did you check the mavui today? Do we know that the kara is still betoch esrim? We don't know, do we? So we better check it.
Yeah, everyone will say sure.
So therefore, therefore, if you have a mavui, since it's a rabim, they'll remind each other. Ravina says, look, it's a lot simpler than that. A sukkah is a diraisa problem, right? Is a sukkah kosher? They're machmir. And they're rabbanan. They're machmir when it comes to diraisa. A mavui. The whole idea of a mavui needing anything is only rabbanan. But diraisa, it's a perfectly kosher reshut hayachid. Okay, rabbanan, but we're not going to be machmir. Lochmir be rabbanan.
Practical, just the other way. I mean, a sukkah.
Well, we'll get to it. Ravada bar matna, mas odosh matz the rabbi ipcha. Indeed, as Ramoti suggested, Ravada bar matna says, why don't we talk about it in the opposite way? What I have in my the way I heard it from Rabbi was that Rabbi said the opposite. He said, in a mavui it's pasul, and in a sukkah it's kosher. Now, in my version, we asked the exact opposite question. We said to him, hey, how come in a sukkah it's kosher? Obviously, the kamin and klosh, because you hold that you can shave it down in your mind. So why can't you do the same thing in a mavui? Because in a mavui, you're going to say that it becomes too thin and it's going to blow away in the wind. But then I'll say the same thing by a sukkah. if you make it too thin, you're not going to have enough chamad. You're going to have chamta merubah mitzilta. El al korcha, it isn't really chamta merubah tzilta because it's really there, so we call it tzilta merubah chamata. So then you could say the same thing about the thin. So therefore, you can say something about the thin korah, and we'll turn it into steel. Therefore, in my version, Rava Prazaki said exactly the opposite. Rava Prazaki said, look, a sukkah is one guy's responsibility, and therefore, it gets taken care of. A mavui is a committee. Nobody does anything. So therefore, the sukkah you don't have to worry about, because... he's Rami Anav Shemakir, whereas a Mavli, which is the Rabin, when it comes to Rabin, everybody relies on everybody else. So Samchei Hadadi, they're all relying on each other. Velo Matkri, and therefore no one's going to end up checking it out. The Amrei Inch, you know what people say, Kedera Debe Shutfe Lo Chamima Velo Karira. If you've got a pot but two people are cooking, it's neither hot enough nor cold enough. Ravina says,
Paskin like the more simple approach.
No, we don't Paskin like anything. Ravina Amar, Sukkah the Araisa, and I say just the opposite. Sukkah, which is the Araisa, lo boy chizuk. You don't have to be mach with the Araisa. People will be careful. But mavi, the Rabbanah, they'll be lax about it, because they'll say, the whole thing's only Rabbanah. Anyway, if it got shaved away a little bit over time, who cares? So there you have to be machazik. Okay, so two completely different approaches. Which approach is right? My havi Allah. Says Rabbi Barvul, neither approach is right. Actually, both of them are pasul. And Rava says, on the contrary, the whole issue was a completely nonsensical issue in the first place. Because maybe you didn't notice that it never spoke about how high the korah is supposed to be, as we pointed out. It talks about how high the mavui is supposed to be. Same with the sukkah. Therefore, we really don't care where the korah is, as long as there's only 20 amos of sukkah under it. The korah doesn't have to be within 20 amos. It's completely irrelevant. We just can't have more than 20 amos until the bottom of the korah, that's all. Who cares where the korah is?
The sukkah also.
Sukkah also. So this whole thing, therefore, is a mistake.
Because
it's what you see is only mom. Yeah, but sukkah, when we get the sukkah, we'll see whether it's kosher. Alam yesum is possible. There we'll have a different problem. But anyway, both cases are kosher because when it speaks in the Mishnah, it doesn't speak about the placement of the korah. It's the halal of the sukkah that it talks about. It's the halal of the mavui that it's talking about.
Isn't that the space underneath it regardless?
Exactly. Exactly.
So how can it be that I'm not good at this, I guess. I'm trying to picture...
I don't care where it is.
It's 20.
If I get to the top of my 20 amas in my mavui, and right there's a korah, fine. What do I care? I don't care how high the korah is, how low the korah, it doesn't matter to me. Okay. All I want to know is that I don't have more than 20 amas between...
Space.
Yeah, it's the space, and that's all. Omelie Rav Papa Rava, you know something that's brilliant, to actually have a braita that proves it. Because if you think back at that original brayta that caused us so much trouble, Mogul Shugavoa Miesri Mahama Yotermi Pitroshal Echal Yema'et, Echal was 20 amas. The doorway, the space, was 20 amas. Obviously, it couldn't demand. Even if we're using it, whether we're using it as a model or we're using it as a simon, it's Lamaisa telling you got 20 amas of space, not it has to be within 20 amas. It's saying exactly what you're saying. Echal Gufo, Chalalo Esri. How then are you going to explain the opening in the Tosefta that says, Ketzad hu oseh, what does a person do to make a mavui kosher? Meniach korah misfat esrim ulamata. Now, how are you going to explain that? It says over here, he has to put the korah from 20 amot down, which means that the whole korah has to be inside of 20 amot. It's not a din in the mavui, it's a din in the korah. It's the exact opposite of what you're saying. Yeah, it's not a problem. Read that and above. Oh yeah, read that and above, except for the minor inconvenience of the fact that it says below. It does say below. What are you going to do about that? No, that's another issue. I mean, we've already seen doctors mean gases, so why can't below mean above? No, but the point is, akamashmalan, the lamata kilamala. He's talking about two issues. There's two separate problems. By mavui, just as there is by sukkah. By sukkah, it can't be more than 20 amot high, but also can't be less than 10 tefachim high. Maybe less, there's a less and a more. It's true about a mavoi too. Mavoi has to have a certain height before we give it a shame of a mavoi to be matir. So if that's the case, in order to keep things moving along here, yeah, there we are,
yeah,
Richie. Yeah. In order to keep things moving along, Richie, what we really need to do is to talk about both ends of the problem, the top and the bottom. So what it's saying is, 20 amot, meaning and above, is no different than lamata. So a kamash with the lamata kalamala. If lamala, you need a halal of esri. When I say you need a minimum of 10, I mean a minimum of 10 halal, space, 10 tvachim. And then you can have your Korah on top of that, but you can't put your Korah any lower. So in order to tell me that, I mean ulamata. Same thing is true if you're talking about that. But Sfat Korah doesn't mean ulamata.
Are we missing a piece of advice?
What's happening?
What is that?
We didn't get to it yet. Yeah. Omra Mishmeder of Nach. This now is, again, a little bit an aside. What's the problem, David? Yeah. There's two dinim. There's a maximum height and there's a minimum height. And the brighter one, the Tosefta, wants to clarify to us that it's always misfat. If you're talking about above, then it's misfat ulamala of esrim. And if you're talking about below, it's misfat ulamala miasora. No, lamala. The shiur lamata is similar to the shiur lamala. Not that the korah is put lamata or lamala.
The minimum level where you can place the korah is 10 amos?
No. 10 tfachim we're talking
about.
In Mavoi, it has to be 10 tfachim. Yeah. Asura, not Esra. Asura is tfachim.
So that is, it's the minimum level and the minimum level.
Exactly. Yeah. But on both cases, it's and above. Lamata doesn't mean and below the line. Lamata means the lower shear, which is the 10 tfachim shear. Also, it would have to be misfat, meaning and above. The word misfat means the edge up. That's what the word means. The word lamata was not referring to where to place it at all. It was talking about a different shear. The shear of Esrim, Lamata, the shear of Asara.
The common denominator is the Chol.
The common denominator is that from the edge and up, which leaves a Chalal similar Lamata and Lamala. 110 Tvachim and 120 Amot.
If the Mavoi is 50 Amot high, where do you put the Korah? At 20?
Yeah.
And doesn't matter if it's another study above.
Doesn't matter. Because I'll be Makir the Korah.
That's
what goes beyond it is not, I'm not interested in all of it. Now, for an aside, we never really defined, and here is what triggers it, we never defined the size of an amma. What triggers this discussion is the way that the Braita cavalierly talked about Asara in terms of Tvachim and Esrim in terms of Amot and gave them both the same. So now I'm interested, actually, so thinking about that. What is the size of an amma? Our problem with the size of an amma is, of course, the fact that an amma is a very vague kind of idea. When you're talking about using the human body, amma is basically an arm, talking about using the human body as a measurement, I mean, it's so loose as to be almost useless. And everybody will come in, use their arm, and come up with a different size of an amma. And we know that the amma is based on the tefach, and the tefach is based on the etzvaot. And the etzvaot are a theoretical thing which is based on an averaging of thumbs. They're not really, so even though we call it a tefach, which is a hand breadth, what we really mean are four standard thumbs, is the size of the tefach. So we did standardize the thumb. Because we know we have a standard etzba. And the standard etzba serves in many, many different ways in terms of mikvot and the relationship of the volume to the distance and all kinds of things like that. It's the etzba that's used. The problem is that when you start expanding on the etzba, I mean, now, you know, they're put together in a lot of different ways. They're tightly together, loosely together. That, you know, and then when you start thinking about an amma, people start using their amma, and that we never really standardized. So we have to start thinking about what do we mean precisely by an amma. Some Rishonim learned that the Gemara is assuming that Chazal didn't have a standard amma at all, and that actually what they did was, in order to avoid the problem of standardizing the amma, they created two ammas, a large amma and a small amma, and would always go lechumra. So in other words, what you would do is to make an Amma where you had your problem was you needed to be Machmir, you would take six of your Tvachim and make an Amma. And that would include whatever variations in there. It's a six Tvachim, that was an Amma. When you needed to be Machmir by having a smaller Amma, you took five of your Tvachim and that was the standard Amma. And therefore, comes along by it to say, Mishpeh the Reb Nachman, where you're talking about the Amma and Dinim of the Sukkah, and an Amma in terms of Dinim of the Mavui. There you're talking about an Amma that you make with five Tvachim, Bat Chamisha. When you're talking about an Amma in distancing other things from a vine in a kerem, there you're talking about an Amma Bat Shisha Tvachim, because you have to be Machmir over there. We'll talk about exactly what the cases are. So there you need to have a smaller Amma, a larger Amma in order to be Machmir, that's Bat Shisha. Excuse me for a minute, doesn't matter, but explain what you mean. You say the Amma of a Mavo, and there's a lot of different issues, the Amma of a Mavo. The Amma of the Mavo, you said, is going to be Lachur, okay? So it's an Amma Bat Chamisha. So I guess you're talking about the Gova, in other words, 20 Amot is okay, not more. So you're talking about 20 smaller Amot. And a pirtza in a mavui, that if there's a break in a mavui of 10 amot, it's not kosher. There too, it means smaller amot, it's not kosher. But, you know, there's also cases in a mavui where taking the smaller amma is a kula, not a kula. For instance, ha'ika meshech mavui barba amot, which is a kula. There's also a minimal length to a mavui. A mavui needs to be 4 amot long in order to have all of these dinim of mavui. And you're saying a small amma is enough. I mean, if the point of the Amma is we're going to apply it l'chumra, where always, wherever it's l'chumra, then we'll use whatever one is l'chumra, how could you give a general statement that the Amma of a Mavoi is always the smaller Amma? Well, maybe he disagrees with that, then, of four Amot being required. Maybe he holds like the Mandi Amar that even a Mavoi of four Tvachim is sufficient. Well, you know what? Even if he holds that you're right, you really need Arba Amot. He meant Rov Amot. Most of the problems that will come up in a Mavui, in terms of breaks in the wall or heights of the Korah, measure that with an Amma Bat Chamesh. Yeah, I'm not saying there's no case where you're going to have this, but, I mean, obviously my reader is intelligent enough to distinguish where it's Lakula, where it's Lachorma. He meant most of the time. Okay, we have the same question by a Sukkah. Sukkah, you said, Ba'amma Bat Chamesh, right? Chamishat Fafi. Lamai Hilchata. What were you referring to? I assume you're referring to how high the sukkah has to be. It can't be higher than 20 small amot. Le dofen akuma, the din of dofen akuma, is if you have an area of schach pasul on top of your sukkah next to the wall, then the wall is seen as making a 90 degree bend and continuing on. Up to 4 amot, you can do that. And then the schach would be kosher even though it's far away from the wall because the wall is bent. Technically speaking. So that's called Dofen Akuma. The maximum shear is 4 amot to do that. This comes up all the time, by the way, in the Rebbe. Very useful. Because you often have somebody on top of you who's got something sticking out, a porch or something. If it doesn't stick out 4 amot, you can still use the back wall as the wall of your sukkah and continue building your sach because the wall is reaching your sach. Since it's just bent over. That's Dofen Akuma. So I guess what you're referring to over there is that the shear of the Amma for Dofen Akuma is the smaller Amma, because otherwise you're going to be making too much. You're going to have a very long Dofen Akuma. Okay, that makes sense. But how about Meshif Sukkah be'arba Amot? How about the fact that a Sukkah has to be 4 Amot long? And there you're saying, well, it's kosher if it's small Amot. Maybe it has to be long Amot. Titania, Rebbe, Omer, Omer, Aniko, Sukkah, Shein, Ba'arba Amot, Al-Arba Amot, Psula. If a Sukkah isn't 4x4, it's Pasul. No, maybe he doesn't hold to that. After all, we don't pass him like that. Maybe it's like the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan say, Hafilu. Eina machazeket el rosho v'rubo v'shulchano. Even if it only holds enough to hold you and most of your body, your head, and a little table, it will also be kosher. So if that's the case, obviously, Amot, don't get into it at all. Or you know what? Even if he does hold of Rebbe, and even if he says you do need Arba Amot, it's not a problem. What is that thing that you're reading there? What is this?
It's the same as this.
It's going to make you crazy. You're not going to have a source of
that. No, I never use it. It's just...
oh, my God.
I was in a rush, so I just had to grab whatever I had.
Okay, I have to get you something better now.
What? No, I have. Oh, all right. Just that wasn't in my house.
So maybe it's Rebbe. We're talking about Rov Amot. And you're saying, again, my audience is certainly aware of the fact that they can't just apply a sock like a blanket sack at all situations. Most of the time, if you use a smaller amma, you'll be doing correctly. Obviously, the small ammas are cooler, so don't use it.
Why do we say amma smobi is rabbanim? Why do we do lechogel rabbanim?
Because that's the application of amma. The application of the amma, in order to allow for the discrepancies between various people's amot, we just simply said, okay, always use the tzad. That it's not because of an etz of suffering. Exactly. But that's the kviyut of halakha, not mamash a din of suffering, that you could ask that question. There are, by the way, the achronim that say that there is a standard amma. And that the rabbanon were telling you to be machmer because of the fact that we want you to make sure, you know, we're not going to defy it, whatever the case would be. And therefore, they said, look, when there's a problem, you know, should be machmer. And indeed, they only did this in things that are nogea, the public, according to the sheet. In other words, the truth is, everything I'm saying is not nogea, this piece of Gemara, because we don't pass in this. We don't pass in this two different times of five and six. We do pass in two different amas, but not five and six, as we'll see. I'm saying by extension, this idea of two different amot, there's a whole different approach, a whole different approach being a fascinating approach, which is the Aruch HaShulchan's approach, that actually there is a wide variety of amot. Yeah, and you have every right to apply your ama. But what are you going to do with something which other people are going to be using? You're going to say, for one guy, this is a kosher sukkah, because he got his amot, but for another guy, it's not a kosher sukkah. That's ridiculous. Therefore, in those cases, a taller guy. So therefore, in those cases, the rabbonim said, okay, you know what, so then let's standardize it by going l'chumra. Then nobody's going to get into an argument about that. Okay, you have some bigger amot, that way you'll handle even the area that isn't clear. Now, the next case that we had was the case of Kilayim. Okay. What is the case of Kilayim? We're coming around the bend here, Rich. We're almost finished.
Yep.
You just need to hold on a little bit longer, Rich.
In my last breath.
A little bit longer. Do we have any of that? We had a bottle of something over there.
You can make it to splash.
Okay. So the next case was the case of Kilayim. I want to understand your kilayim. You said amat kilayim b'amat bat shishan. Again, I'm assuming that you're talking about cases where clearly you've got a chumrah. Lamai hilchata lekarachat hakerem v'lim chol hakerem. The problem is a empty space in the middle of a vineyard and an empty space at the edge of a vineyard between the wall and the vineyard. Does anybody have those pretty little colored pictures with them? I forgot to bring it. No, we got nicer pictures. We don't have a colored picture, but we have a black and white picture, which is not quite as cute. These two pictures here are the Karachat HaKerem, is the upper picture, and the Mechol HaKerem. No, actually, these are both Karachat HaKerem, so let's see if it has a Mechol HaKerem. Those are just two different types. I didn't really care for the case. Oh, and this is a Mechol HaKerem. On the next page. Now, basically, all of this is, not to get confused, very simple. We know we have to keep other plants out of a kerem. A kerem is not defined as a place of vines. There's nothing wrong with having other things around vines, as long as they're not taking nourishment from the same area. A kerem has a very special technical definition in which the vines are correctly spaced so that you have a certain number of vines and they're spaced out by amot, one from the other. And at that point, it creates a kerem. Once you have such a kerem, even if the inner part of the kerem is affected by a worm or something and all of those vines die out, you can't plant anything in the middle of the kerem either until you get to a certain size. What is that size based on? Every kerem requires, as you see this little wagon being dragged around by an ox over here, in case you don't know what a wagon and an ox is, here is a picture of an ox. Wagon and an ox.
More like a pig.
Actually, the picture will not help you know what an ox is.
Or a wagon.
Okay, but the reason that we came up with these standardized technical definitions of crumbing is because in order for something to be agriculturally defined, it has to be agriculturally effective. And for it to be effective, the norm is to be able to bring in mechanized harvesters so that you can at least put the things that you go in, pick something, walk out, put it down in a box, go. In other words, whatever is most efficient. efficiency requires that you're able to have a wagon that's going between the vines. The standard wagon requires 4 amot in order to be dragged across. Fine. So therefore we said 4 amot to the side of any vine is basically the area of working the vine. It's bottled completely to the carom. If it's bottled to the carom, then a space in the middle that would be closer than 4 amot to the carom is not a separate place. You can't plant something else in it. So you already need 8 amot.
From the
Because
sides.
You need for both sides.
In the middle, yes.
You need both sides 4 amot. Now the problem is like this. There's also the overall pattern of the carom, which is quite powerful. In other words, if you're looking at a shot of the carom from the air, and you see something planted in the middle, it still strikes you that it's planted in the middle of a vineyard. And remember, kelayim is very strongly affected by the pattern, the picture of it, rather than by, I mean, we're matir things where there's actual mixing underground, because the picture is clearly that it's separated. Remember the sugya that we had of arugah. It was all based on the way that it's geometrically set up. In order to avoid the geometric problem, we need a place that is choshev in and of itself. A place that's choshev in and of itself needs to be 4 amos it also. 4 by 4. That's okay. Now the problem over here is that if you've also got the area in between next to both sides, then that means essentially you need 8 amos in order for this thing to be defined as a separate area vis-a-vis both sides. So therefore you're going to have to separate. You're going to have a hole of 16 amot before you can start planting a field in the middle. Now, you can plant a field of veggies in the middle if you want. That's okay. All right, so if that's the case, that's as far as the karachat hakerem is concerned.
How do we get to that?
As far as the mechol hakerem is concerned, the mechol simply means something goes round and round the kerem. And here you have an area which has a wall, empty space, and then the beginning of the kerem. That's your picture right here, right? Now, in the mechol of a kerem also has to be kept clear of other plants up to a point, because the area up against the kerem, we already said, 4 amos is bottled to the kerem because it's worked in those 4 amos. The area up against a wall is generally kept unplanted because of damage to the wall and so on. So therefore, in order to properly define a field that would have its own definition around the kerem, you would need 12 amot, 4 amot to back up the wall, 4 amot between this field and the kerem, and 4 amot to give this field some sense of its own chashivut as being a makom that's identifiable other than the vines.
So therefore,
you would need 12 for that. Okay, to measure that, you would need to use the larger amount. Otherwise, you would be going lakuna. Okay, so that's fine. No problem with that. I understand what you're saying, and I can accept that. If we're limiting it, says the Gemara, to the idea of mechol hakerem and karachat hakerem. Okay, that's very nice. And just to make it clear, what we're referring to is titznan karachat hakerem. I'll bring you the brayta just to remind you from Kilayim that a karachat hakerem, according to Beit Shammai, requires 24 amot, because Beit Shammai holds that you need to be marchik 8 amot, or he holds, there's a machlokas about what his reasoning is. Does he hold you need 8 amot away from the kerem, or does he hold that you need 8 amot in order to have a makom chashuv in the middle, which gives you 16 in the middle, together with, but in any event, you need 24 amot according to him. The explanation that we gave before was Beit Hillel. Beit Hillel says 16. 4 amot from one end, 4 amot of chashivut from that end, 4 amot from the other end, and 4 amot to define chashivut from the other end. Gives you 16 amot. Fine. Mechol hakerem, here too Beit Shammai says 16. Beit Hillel says 12. 4 from the wall, 4 from the vines, 4 in the middle to give it a din of chashivut for the kerem. Ezoi karachat hakerem, continues the Mishnah, what defines a karachat? Kerem shecharav be'emtzaito. It was ruined in the middle. So, okay, so according to Beit Hillel, if you don't have 16 amot, don't plant another field in there. Lo yavizer l'sha. Ha yusham sheish esrei ama, noten lo kidei avodato. Skip 4 amot, which is kidei avodato, and plant. V'zoreat amotar, you can plant the rest. What is a mechol hakerem? Basically the same idea, but it's the distance between the kerem and the gader, around the kerem. Ein sham shtei mitzrei ama, lo yavizer l'sha. You don't have 12 amot, you can't bring in other things, because you don't have the distance, proper distance, from the wall. Distance of avoda to the kerem, to which anything else would be bottled to, and sufficient area to define properly a separate mokum chashev to itself. So that's 3 times 4 is 12.
What do you mean between the wall and?
Because otherwise it won't have a din of chashivut, because it's not agriculturally viable. People don't make fields planted up to the wall. So okay, those two cases I understand why you need to have longer amot. But your longer amot are going to lead to also to a kula. The kula being the aika ritsufin. In cases where the vines were ratsuf, and you didn't have the proper distance between the vines, it doesn't have a din of a karen. So if you don't have four amot between the vines, there is no iser of kalaya karen, because it's not a good vineyard. Between each vine, in order to give it.
Four amot between each tree?
Yeah. Row of vines?
Yeah, in both directions, rows and columns. So if you have ritsufim, and over there the shear is it requires four amas, if it's ratsuf within four amas, then you're saying, even if it's ratsuf within four long amot, it's not a karam. And that's a big kula. You should have said four salal amot. So, and over there's a kula. Titzant karam anatua apachot ni'arba amot. Rebbe Shimon on there ain't no karam. You don't have to have the chumras of the karam associated with it. The chachamim omrim karam. Growing at the end, same according to chachamim, why don't you just pluck out every other vine? You're saying it's ratsuf, so it's not viable. Fine, okay. You can make it viable by ripping out every other vine. Then it's viable because it's got enough room to grow.
So, if you have a
so in your mind, pull out every other vine.
If you have this kind of karam, which is very close,
right.
So what is it?
No, it's not this very close. It's far away.
It's very close.
Every
it doesn't have the din of a karam to require the mokum avodah around the karam and so on. It doesn't have any of these chumras that we just had. There's no iser of kilayim in terms of karam. There's only an iser of kilayim in terms of an individual vine. And there's much, much bigger kulas there in terms of how close you can bring it up. You don't require all of this area of Arabic, the Aveda, and so on. You just have to worry about the Mokama Yanika. So the Rachachonim say, fine, it would still be a karam. But anyway, but according to Rabbi Shimon, you got a problem, right? Okay, see, that's another Rabbi Shimon. He owns like the Rabbanan. Rabbanan say it is a karam. You know what? Even if he does all the Rebbe Shimon, Rov Amot Koma. Here too, he was referring to most of the cases of Amot that are going to be Nogia. In a Kerem, use the longer Ama in order to have greater Chumrah to distance yourself between the Kramim. This is the way that Abaya quotes Reb Nachman. Rava says, this whole thing is ridiculous. There's no such thing as an Ama of 5 Tvachim, an Ama of 6 Tvachim. All Amot are 6 Tvachim, which is, of course, how we know the Ama, 6 Tvachim. Kol Amot Ba'ama, referring to Kol Amot Shamru Chachamim, as we'll see. We do know that there were certain cases in the Beit HaMikdash, or cases that are mentioned in the Torah, in terms of the Ol Moed, where there is another Ama. But we're talking about the Amot that we apply in all of our Mishnayot. All Amot are an Ama Bat Shisha. The difference that Reb Nachman was referring to between large Amot and small Amot had to do whether your thumbs are laughing or sad. That's the issue. Because if you have happy thumbs, then you'll notice that when you put your fingers together when you're happy, they're broad. They're sochek, right? They laugh. If you're atsuv, you're generally all cringing into yourself. So you have happy amot and sad amot. That's the difference. So where's lechumra to use the happy ama? Fine. So they use a happy ama, like in the Karen. It's a chumra. The difference between a happy ama and a sad ama, which is how we paskin the difference, which is the Rajba Shita, is one half of an etzva per ama, which means it's 1/48 difference. Now here again, those shitas that hold that this is in order to accommodate variations, those shitas would hold there is a standard ama, which is neither sochek nor atzeh, which is interesting. And then in order to make sure that you don't come lidei akilko, they added the Amma Socheket and they added the Amma Atzeif. And that's one of the main problems of that Shita in the Achronim. Because according to them, there are three Amma. There's the middle Amma, and then there's the Amma Socheket and the Amma Atzeif, which is doesn't seem to have any more.
Wait, how's there a middle Amma?
Because there's the standard Amma, which is neither pressed together tightly nor very loose. And then we just added this. Right? So it would really be the difference of approximately 1% from the standardized Amma. The difference between them was 2%, which 1/48. But the variation from the standard Amma would be something like 1%, a little bit less than 1%. So Rav Mishmei Rav Nachman Amar Kol Amot Ba'Amah Bat Shisha Elo Halalo Sochakot Va'Halalo Atzavot. You've got these happy Amot, and they are a little bit larger, and then you've got the cringing Amot that are all sad in themselves. We tell sad people, you're looking tight today. That's a tight Amma. And the tight Amma indeed is somewhat smaller than the loose Amma. Okay, we'll leave it at that. We can go on with our Amma. Okay. Oh, Richie, Richie, Richie.
Look at that. Oh, Richie, wide awake.